Public hearing is conditional use number 2097. Christopher Lopez.
This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for automobile and truck sales, service, and repair to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dagsborough 100, Sussex County, containing 1.01 acres, more or less. The property is located on the east side of DuPont Boulevard, Route 113, approximately 1,297 feet south of Wood Branch Road. The 911 address is 24487 DuPont Boulevard, Georgetown. The tax map is District 133, Map 2, Parcel 1. Submitted into the record is a staff analysis and exhibit booklet, site plans, and comments from the Utility Planning Engineering Utility Department. Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. And staff would note that this is an expansion of an existing conditional use. Thank you.
Is there anyone here representing this application?
Yes, sir. Good evening. For the record, my name is Mark Davidson. I am a principal land planner with Pannoni Associates, located just outside of Milton, Delaware. With me this evening is the applicant, Mr. Christopher Lopez. As was introduced, this is an extension of what was an existing conditional use for an automobile service and repair shop. What we're asking for now is to be able to provide auto sales. Just to give you a little bit of a background, we received the conditional use approval for a portion of this property. In the exhibit booklet, I did submit the plans and the approval letters from the original application. The property was 70 feet wide. It was approximately 208 feet in depth. There was an existing old house on the property at the time. It's only sitting approximately 7.5 to 8 feet off the front property line. Mr. Lopez purchased the property to provide automobile sales and service. He at that time, currently, he worked for Jeff White's Automotive, which is located in the town of Georgetown on the intersections of 113 and Market Street. In 2012, we got the final approval. Also in 2012, we received a variance for the building setbacks to be able to renovate the building, expand the building, and for him to be able to use it for the intended use at that time. Since that time, Mr. Lopez, back in 2014, Mr. White passed away in an automobile accident. And Mr. Lopez was able to purchase the business from the estate of Mr. White. He, at that time, he was still working on this piece of property, he was renovating the building. And again, we had received all the final approvals from DelDOT, the Sussex Conservation District. We got septic approval, but he was operating his business after purchasing Mr. White's business there. So staying there on this, about a year ago, he was told by the landlord, he does not own that property out in Tyler, Georgetown, that that his contract would not be renewed, that he would have to, that they were seeking other uses for that piece of property. So Mr. Lopez approached the owners of the Georgetown Speedway. This site is on the north side of this property is the Georgetown Speedway. So he had purchased approximately 2/3 of an acre from the adjacent Georgetown Speedway and added it to his existing parcel, which now brings it up to 1 acre. We filed the application and here we are before you this evening. What we are asking for is a conditional use in an AR1 zone piece of property for automobile and truck sales, service, and repair. The property is located on US 113. It is in a developing area according to the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. It's in a level 2 area according to the state strategies for spending. I have provided in the booklet a proposed layout of what Mr. Lopez is planning to use the site for. Again, he has been working on the building. He has a few minor things he has to do to the outside of the building, but the inside is complete. And we are now at a point where we're going to renew his permits. In the previous application, because he only had 70 feet wide, his entrance was located on the south side of the building in this area here, on that south side of the building. What we're proposing to do now is to relocate that entrance to, and it was kind of tight in that area. He only had about 25 or 26 feet off that property line to do a 24-foot wide entrance. It was rather tight getting through there. So what we're looking to do now is we're going to relocate that entrance to the north side of the building, provide an in and out. DelDOT stated in their letter, no traffic impact study was required. He has no objection from the quarter capacity preservation program. His trip count is less than 50 vehicles a day, so DelDOT had no objection to providing him a right in and a right out. We have to prepare those plans to be able to for him to be able to construct. As part of his original application, we got him approvals for an on-site well, and then also as well as an on-site septic. The septic is now on the site plan here. You'll see that it was approved here in the beginning. With the expansion of the property, we are moving it back to here. This site plan does show what the maximum amount of vehicles that he could possibly do. Right now, currently, he's talking about possibly somewhere between 18 and 20 vehicles for sale. As part of the package that I submitted to you, I did submit some conditions of approval. If you find favor with this application, the hours of operation haven't changed since the original approval. It's 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 on Saturday. It does not work on Sunday. There will be no outside storage of junk vehicles, automobile parts, equipment, tires, and materials used to repair automobiles or trucks. Mr. Lopez did tell me that he doesn't deal with tires very much, basic oil changes. He is licensed, he's educated and certified in computers when it comes to automobiles. So foreign vehicles that have those tricky computer components that make them run, he's an expert. He's got the testing equipment. He's been certified. That's his specialty. He specializes in being able to work on the computers of all the vehicles that are out nowadays. Again, the entrance, we will be going back to DelDOT for a new approval by shifting that entrance to the north side of the building. There will be one on-premise sign, 32 square feet in size as per the code. It will not be a lighted sign, but it will probably be illuminated with some type of ground lighting that will be part of the sign itself. Parking lot security lighting will be provided and will have downward illumination. No illumination will encroach past the property line. The area for the dumpster will be located behind the building and screened from view. And we will show that final location on the final site plan. Mr. Lopez, it's a family business. It's him and his two sons. And he does have one other individual that helps sell cars. So what we've placed on here is, as per the original application, that there's really no more than five vehicles. He only has two bays in the existing building that's on site that he was constructing. So he really won't have any more than five vehicles at a time that he's going to try to be working on. Again, two bays, two vehicles, and then probably three sitting outside waiting to come into the bay to be able to be worked on. The uses shall be limited to the automobile and truck sales, service and repair. Again, I've provided all the information here in the booklet as it pertained to the original approval. Again, we will seek getting new approvals from all the agencies to be able to facilitate the expansion of the lands. Stormwater management was provided on site, and it was located in this area here. On this plan, you can kind of see the underground infiltration. We did have underground infiltration with a minor connection to the DelDOT swale out front. Again, we are looking to utilize that particular location as well as probably try to expand that throughout where the larger part of this parking lot is going to be planned for the future. So, with that, that's my presentation. If you have any questions,
Okay, thank you, Mr. Pinoni. Maybe Mr. Lopez can use his computer expertise to work on my PC in my office. We'll start with Mr. Hopkins.
So, Mark, just looking at that little, your storm drain holding area, where it says inlet number two, is that like, is that where it effluents out off of the site?
Yes, what we did, the original design for the entrance, we had a culvert going underneath the entrance, and the only way that we could discharge the stormwater, and there's, the water tables are approximately, the seasonal high water table is approximately 24 to 32 inches down. So what we had to do is we had to have a minor discharge. So that inlet there is a connection that connected the cross pipe underneath the entrance to the stormwater system for the site.
So, okay, so if I follow that line out to towards Route 113, it looks like the pipe goes, does it then flow south? I see an arrow.
Yes.
So it flows south. And then if you go north, it almost looks like the pipe goes halfway across the drive and stops. Is that the original pipe or?
What happened, that was a pipe that Mr. Lopez was being required to install.
So that was on the original design?
That was on the original design. That has not been installed yet, but that's a pipe that he would have had to install back then if he would have built the entrance.
Where it was originally located?
That's correct.
Does that mean then although this plan doesn't show it, you would continue where it stops underneath the driveway and extend it so that it catches the water coming from the racetrack area?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes.
So it'll flow on?
Yes, sir.
So is it correct to say then that is an existing pipe, or is he installing the entire thing as it goes south?
He would have had to install that entire thing to be able to help.
Going south from the?
That's correct.
Okay, so that's all like a proposed new line. So
that was a proposed pipe. That was what I tried to show here. I tried to show what was actually approved.
That's fine. So where it shows the existing driveway south of his, the adjacent property south of his, you see that existing driveway?
Yes.
So is it existing anywhere? I'm assuming that he's not going to have to install a new pipe under that driveway.
He was going to have to.
Oh, he was?
Yes,
okay.
That was a requirement of Delta.
Okay.
He was going to, and then he would have had to repair each one of those driveways going down, south or down. What we're hoping to do is maybe we don't. What we're trying to do is, and there were some issues with, trying coordination with the neighbor next door. And the neighbor next door also has a conditional use. He operates a underground wiring business. So he does. So we're trying not to disrupt his business as well. So maybe with this new design, we'll be able to work with Delta and come up with something a little different.
So is that burden on what I just was asking about? Is that really someone else's jurisdiction anyway?
It's up to Delta.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then I guess the other question I have is probably maybe I'm getting ready to find out it's not us either, but it seems tight to make that turn in, especially if he has a car carrier. Is that safe to say? And if somebody else is trying to come out while the car carrier is coming in, if it were and DelDOT had a problem with it, I'm assuming you can just move your driveway to the north a little bit.
We could move it to the north, but there is an existing shoulder on 113, so they'll be able to pull off the shoulder there, and we'll be able to make that turn in. That radius right now, I believe, is probably shown at about a 35-foot radius. It may, now that we're looking at doing automobile sales, so that if a car carrier does happen to come in, that radius may have to increase.
You can bring it over some.
Yeah, and there's room there to do
it. It looks like, because, I mean, you have the building and the well. What is that little round circle just come in, just above where it says a 12-foot radius? Is that an electric pole or something?
That's the old property corner.
Yeah. Oh,
that's the original property corner.
I see. All right. Thanks. That's all I have.
So, Mr. Steve, sir?
No, I don't have any questions.
Mr. Hudson?
About how many cars do you propose to have out there at one time for sale?
About 20, at maximum about 20. Anything okay. More than that, it's about selling and then getting new stock in, but okay. He's estimating about 20.
All right, and do you have oil storage tanks or anything like you use the
yes.
oil things? Is
yeah,
that inside
he,
or outside?
He does do that. He does have a storage tank, and he deals with a company that comes in, dumps his old oil in the tank, and then they pump it out.
Okay.
They come in and pump it out.
So. That's all I have. Thank you.
Mr. Wheeler?
No questions.
I have no questions. Ms. Walls?
None. Thank you.
Mr. Whitehouse?
No questions.
Ms. Cornwell?
None. Thank you.
Mr. Roberts?
None.
Good golly. Let's see if anyone has any interest in your application. Is there anyone here that'd like to speak in favor of conditional use number 2097, Lands of Christopher Lopez? Is there anyone here like this? Oops, I'm sorry.
They're hiding.
You're behind the pole. Come on up. No?
You're just
raising your
hand? Are you just in favor?
You're just in.
Okay.
Okay, so we had someone present that raised her hand in favor, but it's shy.
That's we'll make okay. sure the record reflects.
Yeah, yeah. You needn't be scared of us. We're not that bad. Anyone else like to indicate in favor or speak in favor? Anyone in opposition to conditional use 2097? Hearing none. Anyone on the commission have any questions?
Nope.
We're going to close the public record, the public hearing, and you're welcome to stay with us this evening to see if we make a decision or call the office in the morning. Our next item on the agenda is conditional use number 2099, Richard and Dawn Jamison.
This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a wedding venue within an existing barn on approximately 2 acres around the barn to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Seaford 100, Sussex County, containing 49.12 acres, more or less. The property is located on the north side of Woodpecker Road, approximately 600 feet east of Greenbrier Road. The 911 address is 4647 Woodpecker Road, Seaford. The tax map is District 531, Map 12, Parcel 92. And it's a portion of that, and for the to submit into the record, staff would submit the staff analysis and comments from the utility planning division. I can't get that right tonight. Engineering comments, and then we also received a site plan. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Your name and address for the record.
Richard Jamison, Seaford, Delaware.
Okay. And do you have anything you'd like to add other than what our director read to the record?
Well, I will tell you this. I retired as a police officer. I had 23 years old, but I don't think I was ever as nervous as I am right now because I know, and somehow I find myself standing here because I know how much my wife wants this.
Yeah. What force were you in?
Pardon me?
Where were we at?
I retired as a lieutenant with Seaford.
Seaford,
yep.
Great.
Yes, sir.
You were outside of town there?
Retired.
You remember him stopping you sometime?
I don't think
so.
Never had the pleasure of meeting Lieutenant Jamison professionally.
I never stopped him.
They lived near each other.
Right.
Well, don't be nervous. We're all good here.
Sure. No, I don't think I have anything else. It's got to be unique. I do have a letter from in support of this from the people that we bought this farm from. And there should be a copy of that in the file from Ray and Eunice Pierce.
There's not. We'll make sure it is. Do you have a copy of it?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I do.
Yeah.
You can present
and
it to.
And I believe there was two other people in support that submitted letters to Stacy.
Yep, one from Ray Tull.
Yes.
And then one from Kimberly Adkins, both
yes.
In favor of the application.
Miss Eunice. Who we bought this property from Ray and Eunice. Her great-grandfather built this barn in 1930. It is phenomenal even after all these years. I mean, structurally, they'll never build another barn like that. They just won't, you know. So we want to do what we can to maintain it, you know. Like I stated in my letter, we're not going to do anything that's going to reflect poorly on us. We're not going to do anything to reflect poorly on God. We live there. We're going to build a house on the property. So,
talk a little bit just about what's around there, or you know, whether this would have any impact on neighboring properties of the community, just so we have a little bit of a record.
We own about 50 acres. It's 49 point something acres. I have one neighbor directly across the street. It's within 100 feet or so. Then I have another neighbor down the road a little bit. He's actually an uncle of Eunice Pierce. The rest of it is our farmland.
And do you think that this will cause any problems with traffic or impact the other neighbors or anything?
I don't think so. It's not going to be an everyday event. I've got about 26,000 square feet that we've mapped out after talking with Stacy. I'll have enough parking out there for 150 vehicles. And we'll certainly keep our thumb you know, on the activities that are there, you know, and we would be there, so.
We'll see if Mr. Wheatley has any questions for him.
Just a couple to help, again, help create a record, put some things on the record.
Sure.
For your application. The venue itself, the barn, what size, about how many people will that hold?
Well, the building is two-story. It's about 35 feet by 80 feet.
Okay.
There's a concrete floor in the bottom. It's a tongue and groove hardwood floor upstairs. Like I said, it is structurally sound. I don't know how many people it will hold, because up until a few months ago, I had about 4,000 bales of hay up there that I had to take out of it, you know. So.
Well, I don't imagine there'd be too many on the second floor, but I imagine most of your activities,
yeah,
would be confined to the first floor.
They should be, and there's plenty of outfall, if you will, for the outside. I mean, I've got 49 acres. We've got a lean-to off of the one side that is about 16 foot by 72 feet. There's plenty of room.
What would you say would be an average size wedding crowd for this type of venue?
Well, I've been married almost 25 years. I don't remember how many people were at mine, but.
Oh, you're getting a look now.
Yeah, you're getting a sign.
But I would say probably 100.
Do you remember the date?
Yeah.
I don't have my ring on. Yeah.
And I see on your site plan where you have designated a parking area.
Yes, sir.
And I did visit the site today, and I did not enter your property. I just stayed on the highway.
You're one of a few, then.
But I didn't need to. I could see everything I needed to see from the road. It does appear that you have more than enough land to park a 100-150 person wedding, and it doesn't appear that would be an issue. And as you stated, this is not something that's going to happen every day.
No, sir.
So if you had a wedding every weekend, it'd still only be 52 a year.
Yes, sir. And like I said, we would be there. My wife or I would be there to make sure that things are the way that they should be. You know, I don't want to upset neighbors.
Are you going to you planning to do any food preparation there?
No, sir, we would not. Now, if someone wanted to bring a caterer in, we would have a facility for that. But
caterer's kitchen? Yeah.
Yes, sir, but okay. We would not. No.
Okay. All right. Well, the typical kinds of questions we might ask about hours of operation and so on, I think, are fairly self-evident for the kind of activity. So, Mr. Ross, I don't have any further questions.
Okay.
And I want to try to, just like I said in my letter, I want to try to keep this as an ag venue. I mean, that's why farmers are selling ice cream and produce. You know, we really want to try to focus on ag and keep it.
You might be aware we're in the process of redoing our comprehensive land use plan, and that has been a main concern, is to be able to keep farmers farming, be able to give them options and opportunities to remain in the agriculture industry. And this is sort of I don't know if it's agritourism or agrimatrimony or whatever you want, whatever you would call
right.
it. But,
I don't know, but people are getting married in a barn.
It seems to fit.
It does.
It is popular. And to be honest with you, the days of being able to sustain 50 acres to farm,
we're well aware of that.
So that's why there's agribusiness.
That's one of the reasons why we're trying to create opportunities and options for
people. I appreciate
people.
That.
So, on that happy note, I'll yield the floor.
So instead of getting born in a barn, we'll get married.
Marrying one,
right?
Sure, why not?
Mr. Hudson, you have any questions?
Well, I haven't tried that yet.
Yeah, try that. You want, yeah. Maybe next time.
Hey, you could renew your vows there.
not in the next couple days.
I think we're a little late for that.
Mr. Hopkins.
I think I just have one.
Yes,
I noticed there's some chicken houses out there.
Those are mine.
And there seems to be a growing concern, in regard to chicken houses.
Yes, sir.
And I just was curious if you thought that this venue could have any kind of a negative impact on those chickens.
I hope not. And I hope that they're not going to dance to any music from it, but no, those are ours as well. I retired September the 23rd, and I got chickens September 29th. It was a very short vacation.
From the frying pan to the fire.
Right, it sure was.
Ms. Hoey Stevenson, any questions?
I just wanted to make sure I'm clear. You're holding wedding ceremonies there, and then people can have their receptions there as well?
Yes, ma'am. That's
okay, because on the summary it said we have no desire to hold receptions.
I submitted a revision.
Oh, I'm sorry. I must have missed that.
That should have been included. I submitted that to Stacy. I believe that was Friday.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, that's just what I wanted. Yeah. That's
our information goes out on Friday, so it probably just didn't make it into the cut that was delivered. So I had the same questions, so that's why I wanted to make sure.
On it. Yeah.
Okay. And then, would you have a? Well, he said hours of operation, but just to be on the safe side, if we put a limit on the time for when you could have it, would be okay with you?
Like, absolutely.
So it's not going till 2 in the morning? Or
no, something? Ma'am. Would not allow. I don't want to be up at 2 in the morning. I didn't work shift work very long, and I don't want to.
Do you have any recommended hours that you would like this to go to? Or so, okay.
No, ma'am.
All right.
I would say I'll leave that to the commission. I know they'll come up with a reasonable hour.
Okay.
2 is too late.
We're not going to go out there to and check on you. Maybe somebody else would, but not this group.
Okay, that was my question. Thank you,
Ms. Walls.
I actually have two questions. One is, and I ask this because we've seen a lot of, I think we've seen a lot of this with these types of venues.
Really?
Do you intend to have any other types of events besides weddings, or do you anticipate?
I'm glad you asked. Because we have had people express interest in having anniversary parties or birthday party there, yes.
And then the second question I had was related to restroom facilities. Have you given thought about that? Will you be installing some, or will there be?
Yes, I met with Judy Reed, I believe her name was. She's a Citadel Engineering. To have a septic installed in a bathroom.
Okay. No further questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
White House.
I just have one.
Yes, sir.
You mentioned music in
yes.
your comments. I assume that's to be amplified music, electronically amplified. Is that to be controlled? Is there any mechanism or anything to limit the decibel levels, or is that just to be as per?
I would have to leave that to the DJ. I would want it to be reasonable. Again, I've got neighbors, you know. I know like the only thing I can look at is, for instance, the fire company in Seaford, certainly they rent out their facility. I don't remember in all the years of being with the police department ever getting called there for the music to be too loud. Well, certainly this is a barn facility, but I would have to.
But the music would be indoor, inside.
Yes, sir.
The barn.
Yeah.
Because all the people that would call you were probably at the party.
Exactly.
Right.
That's probably. So,
including half the police force.
But as far as the decimal, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want someone, I don't want to do anything that's going to cause a problem with the neighbors.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Ms. Corwell?
None, thanks.
Mr. Robertson?
None for me, thanks.
Okay. We'll see if anyone has any interest.
One other technical question, because it raised an excellent point. The conditional use application was specific for a wedding venue.
I was thinking that. I don't think it really creates so much of a problem. It's the event venue,
If the commission decides to look favorably upon this, perhaps we can address that in the motion.
Either through the reasons or the conditions, just to clarify that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm per se, so maybe I should have changed it to venue.
That's okay. It's a general.
It's okay.
Still
okay.
In the theme, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll see if anyone has any interest in your application. Take a seat nearby. Is there anyone here who would like to speak in favor of the conditional use 2099 Lands of Richard and Dawn Jameson? In favor. Anyone like to speak in opposition to conditional use? Yes, ma'am. Please come forward. Please state your name and address, please.
My name is Jane Walters Dempsey, and I live in Woodland Station, Seaford, Delaware. And some of my, I wasn't sure coming in here whether I'd be opposed to the application or not, but it seems like I'm more opposed now than when I walked in, because I thought it was just going to be an exchange of wedding vows location. And now it's morphed into birthday parties, anniversary parties. So I'm concerned about that. And my concern chiefly is with noise. I wanted to know whether there are going to be live bands inside or outside, because I don't want like a barbecue beef and bands going on. That would be disturbing, because where I live, it's a residential community, and it's a very quiet one. And so that's why I came here to ask questions about that. So I'd like to know, is there going to be any amplified sound, any amplified speech, any amplified music, if you're going to allow that or not, and if you are, what would be the hours of operation? And could I expect to hear that where I live? Like you were saying, what's going to be the DBA level? What's it going to be when it crosses my property? I wanted to know whether the permit would restrict those things or not. Because I was thinking when I came in here, like I said, it's going to be a wedding ceremony. There's not going to be a lot of music. There's not going to be a lot of amplified speech. But that's all changed now. So if you could limit it to not having those things, that would be great. Or if you're going to allow them, make sure that my little strip of the woods
doesn't hear it. Do you have any thoughts on hours of operation as far as you're concerned? I mean, how late do you think is appropriate?
Well, that's one of my other questions standing here is I don't know what noise code.
We don't have a noise code. The county doesn't.
So state has some. But like, you're concerned about outside activities, outside band and stuff. Right?
And if it's an indoor activity and all the doors and windows are open, will I be able to hear it?
Right. Yeah.
And who do I call if there's a... I'm glad to hear that they're going to be on the premises, but who do I call if I hear a noise?
You can file a complaint with the county if they break any of the conditions that we place on it. And then what they would do is they would schedule a code enforcement officer to be out there when they're in operation to see if that's true or not. And if they find it that they're in violation of their conditions, they would be cited.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so my option is if I hear loud noises, I call you guys up?
You can call the county if it's in violation of their condition, if it's on the conditions, in terms of the condition of these.
Okay.
Well, we would turn it back into the state. Yeah.
And are these permits, I'm not familiar, this is the first time I've ever done this, so I'm unfamiliar with any of the processes. Is this like a once and done thing? Like if you...
No, this is a conditional use. So if they abandon the conditional use for a three-year period, it's expired. So if they quit doing it for a three-year period after they start the activity, it automatically expires. They could sell it, but if it's sold to someone, the terms and conditions apply to the new owner. So they can't do an expansion beyond what they, if they got approved, mm-hmm. what we apply, unless they come back through a public hearing process.
Okay. And then reading your regulations or your ordinance, is this considered a special event?
No, that's a separate.
I was having a hard time catching.
Yeah, so there's a special event that you can do sort of with the director's approval, but this
because we're talking more, like 100. Did you say 300 people might show up?
This is more regular than.
Yeah, a special event is typically. A temporary thing that you do maybe once or twice a year. This is something they're looking to do more often, which is why they're going through the conditional use process, because they would like to be able to use the space more often than what a special event would allow them to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So how do you categorize this request?
That's a conversation we're having right now with regard to that whole ordinance.
This came in as a wedding venue.
Yeah, that's all the information. Yeah. I'm
right.
Surprised it's changed and I wasn't informed of it.
Can we go back to the hours of operation again before you sit down?
Mr. Ross, can you just...
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm in relaxed mode here today. It's been a long week, a long day. The in your mind, how late would this be reasonable to stay open in the evening?
Well, if I don't hear, if I don't have an impact, I don't really care. But if I'm getting noise from 300 people...
Then you care, sure.
Then I care.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And I don't know, what do you guys think is reasonable for
a
neighbor to...
I think there are some reasonable limitations that could be placed. As I'm looking at the map, and I assume that your parcel backs up to this parcel, or you live in one of the lots that you're on the same side where Charlie Towers is, and that I used to walk around your horseshoe every morning.
Yeah, and like I said, it's a very residential, quiet neighborhood.
It is. The thing I'm thinking of from a practical point of view is two things: a noise limitation and a time limitation. Would seem to me that if you could hear the music from the public street, then it's probably might be a little too loud. If you couldn't hear the music from the public street, then you're definitely not going to hear it from your house.
Correct.
The second thing is that maybe 10 p.m. is long enough for a park. I'm just suggesting that.
I was thinking the same hour.
As a time limit. And I think maybe with those two things, do you think that would be an adequate protection for you?
I would need a number on the decibel.
We don't have the ability to do that.
We can't.
I wish we could, but we just don't. We don't have the ability to enforce that, and we don't have that in our code. So, I mean, I know we'd like to do it, but we just simply don't have the means to do it. So.
Well, without that type of information, I don't know if I can give an answer as to whether that would satisfy me or not. Okay. I know the ambient noise level there is around like 40, 45 dBA, and I know that the DENREC noise regulation, if I'm understanding it correctly, you can't go 10 dBA over ambient without causing a disturbance. Mm-hmm. So I'm not a noise expert, of course, or any acoustical. I wish there was one that I could bring out there, but so
you live in like on the there, like looking from the road towards their farm and kind of to the right.
I live on the chicken house side.
On the chicken house side. So you live on the other side of that woods in those houses. Do you hear the fans on the chicken house?
Yes.
Or the
24 hours a day. And it has the noise of those fans has really recharacterized the noise environment at my house. But there was no zoning and planning on that, so.
Well, it's an agricultural activity. It's permitted, mm-hmm. So yeah.
But still, there is DENREC does have this regulation that you can't exceed ambient by more than 10 dBA. 465 dBA, I think, from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m.
I think a poultry fan on a poultry farm is probably ambient.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
I wish somebody could come out and measure it for me. I just don't know.
Well, I'm sure
but
they could.
But he asked if it was audible, and yes, it is audible, okay. So somebody asked.
Yeah.
I didn't bring it up. They brought it up.
No. Fair question, fair answer. Yeah.
I'm here to talk about...
To talk about this
what
issue.
Might even cause more noise,
sure,
perhaps.
Sure, absolutely, and we're sensitive to your plight.
But I understand from people in the know that the chicken operation, they're going to put up some screening that might help with the noise and the odor.
It's a fairly new facility. I know DPI is encouraging screening wooded forested buffers along property lines and such.
Well, I understand that's what's going to happen here relatively soon, but I don't know either.
Yeah.
And that's off the topic of the conditional use.
Yeah.
I kind of think what we probably as a commission should do, we've heard this lady's testimony, and she has some good concerns. Take those under advisement. We can look at other wedding venues that we've done, because we've had others that have similar situations.
Well, I was and sitting here thinking we need to see
if you're inclined to act on it, we can kind of see what, act favorably on it. Obviously, if it's a denial, it won't matter, but if you're acting favorably on it, we can look at how we've dealt with these issues before and hopefully address our concerns.
Sure. Yeah, like I said, if it was a wedding venue, like when I came in here, I'm like, well, I'm not sure if I'm opposed to it or not. Had it just stayed that, probably everything would have been thumbs up for me, and I wouldn't even be standing here. But It changed very quickly in the last 10 minutes. So.
Well, we're obviously listening to you, or we wouldn't have this long, lengthy chat. So we'll certainly consider. Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
The only other thing is, since I'm unfamiliar with the process, like, how do I get a final copy of whatever the verdict is or the permit?
Well, there's another public hearing in front of council. What date is that? I have it probably in my briefcase, but
we've got a couple of different dates. But once a final decision, if it is approved, the final ordinance will be placed on the county's website on our land use docket, and you can always check on under this application file, and it will have that when the final ordinance is adopted, it will be online, so you will be able to see again if it's adopted, any conditions of approval, and the reasonings behind that.
Okay. All right. Very good.
I'll make one other suggestion to you. Are you personally acquainted with the applicant?
No.
I would strongly encourage that you get personally acquainted with them. When this public hearing is over, there's a nice lobby right out there. You all ought to stand out there. You're neighbors. You ought to know each other, and you ought to be talking to each other about this issue, and I'll bet you'll find a solution that way. We're going to do what we need to do, but I would really encourage you to get to know your neighbors.
Well, I'm not opposed to that.
Good. I don't think they are either.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
That's all
you.
I have
you.
To say.
Thank you.
No rebuttal. No, sir. Is there anyone else like to speak in opposition to this application? Hearing none, we're going to close the public. Oops. Is there anyone else on the commission?
No, I'm good.
Have any questions?
No.
We'll run over you guys. We're going to close the public hearing, and you're welcome to stay with us this evening to see if we make a decision or call the office in the morning.